like a little iPod. Hi, everybody. My name is John, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, John.
I'm also an addict, and but I'm cured. And as soon as I roll up this rim here, I'll be right with you. Wow. How it was? What happened? How it is today? It's the mystery question, eh? How it was? Because turns out it's not exactly as I remember it. You know, I remember my the first meeting I ever went to was Simplicity, which is my home group today, and that was in 2002. And 3 months into that, into going to those meetings, I was asked to speak, right? And how it was just like a lot of drama, right? And this happened to me, and then this happened to me, and almost as if people would hear this story, they could possibly, like I get a pass, right? Like I'm an alcoholic, right? I did a bunch of crazy stuff. But I guess I felt guilty, and I wanted like a pass, right? Like sort of to well that happened to you. Well, then we understand, right? And that's how it was. So I had a story, right? And sometimes I joke about how it was, what happened, how it is today. That it was crap. You know, I came to the program, it got good. You know, there was some sort of miracle, and here I am today. So, I'm also a cocaine addict, which I'll tell you this. If you're a cocaine addict, right, you don't really remember alcohol. Ironically, I worked in a bar for 5 years. My shift started at 6, but I'd always thought that I'd get a little earlier. So I used to get there at noon, you know? No, really. You know, oh, I better get there at noon because I was always broke and they had a buffet, right? So, you know, lunch would be like the chicken wings, sandwiches. And that's how it was. And if it wasn't for drugs to get me here, right? Anyway, so I grew up in Montreal, and I come from a Greek family, and it was okay. It was nice. When I first came in, I had this story about a pet rabbit that my parents bought me. I was maybe 6 years old, right? And so they were at the market, and they buy me this pet rabbit. I'm 6 or 7, right? I name it Bugsy. The instructions were simple. Play with it, right? And that's it. About 3 weeks into it, and feed it. Play with it and feed it, right? 3 weeks into it, right, I get home one day, there's some commotion going on in the bathroom. And I walk in, right, and there's my grandmother, right, like with this knife, and my rabbit is skinned and hanging from the shower head. Yeah. And so, you know, what's going on here? Right? So, like a few days later, they noticed that my eyebrow here had turned white, right? So, I get, this, at the beginning, right? And then they take me to the doctor, and the doctor pulled out some book. I don't know where he had this book, but of people with who have had some sort of trauma, right? And their hair or their something had, turned white. My parents couldn't possibly figure out what kind of trauma I possibly could have had, right? So we went home, And that's it. That's how it was. And, you know, so, all right. So, you know, I'm 18, 19, you know. At 15, I got into a hobby, which was playing music. Like, I was a disc jockey, right? And, like, 16, 17, I had, like, speakers, and I was, you know, doing the whole thing, right? And started drinking a little bit, right? And by the time I was 25, I was in rehab, right? We drank all the time. We drank all summer. We would fall down, right? I remember having to pull over, right, driving, and to lie down on the grass, because the whole fuck, I think it was just spinning, right? And I guess what happened was my life became really crappy, really shitty, right? By that time, I had just started doing cocaine, right? And by that time, I think what happened in my brain said, you can't possibly be responsible for this. You have to come up with a story. So there was my parents killed my rabbit story. There was the, they took me to Greece and I woke up and they weren't there. They had gone somewhere, story, right? And that's how it was, right? And so stuff happened. I'm driving home. I'm drunk. I'm driving home. And I hit the wall on DeCary, like my hydroplane right after. I hit straight into the wall, you know, bounced back. I drove home one day. You know, like I'm driving home, right, and I'm tanked, and I'm literally like sideways, right, and I just managed to pull into the driveway, and there are the cops right behind me, right. Hey, you've been drinking, and I got out, and I said, yeah, I have, right, and this was a long time ago, and the guy says, bye, you know, il a dit la vérité, he said the truth, I guess, you know, you got a lot of slack in those days, and I was in the driveway. And that was it. They just, okay, you're home, go to bed. On my 35th birthday, I was so tanked. I was in the wrong building trying to get into my apartment. And I knew enough, right, just in case I would get arrested, to have my wallet organized. Somebody had told me, keep your car clean and organize your wallet, right? And I hit all the doorbells and I went outside and I sat on the sidewalk and the last thing I remember, there were the cops. Could I would see your wallet? Sure. My wallet's nice and organized. But, and the next thing I remember is waking up in my bed, right? And a ticket. I had a ticket on my kitchen counter for disturbing the peace or something like that. And I was lucky because any other day, if you would have walked into my apartment, you know, there would have been all kinds of bottles there, a big bag of pot, right, and other stuff, you know, as well. And, yeah, so like a good alcoholic, I woke up, got back into my car, and drove off to St. Leonard to find some sort of after-hours place. I spent years in after-hours places, right? And I would sit there, you know, and on the third day or something, you know, a little voice would say, you know, you've been here long enough now, right? Shut up! Shut up. It was... I just didn't want to go home, right? I didn't want to go home. Nobody understood me. At first, you know, I would fall down and, okay, yeah, I had a few too many, and I would get back up, and people would say, you know, you got to get it together. And I would say, yeah, I understand. But then after a while, I was sick and tired of feeling, I was helpless. I couldn't stop. Just before I came in, the plan was I'm going to go to Arizona. I was invited to stay with a friend. So I managed just to get a plane ticket together. And I'm working now. I own an alarm company, right? And, you know, and I'm broke. My partner, he's got like a triplex in Laval, right? And but I'm always broke, right? So the plan was I'll leave on the Thursday. That way I skip the Friday, because Friday's like, you know. And, okay, well, so I got through that weekend, right? And because I'm on the plane and stuff. So I stay there a weekend, right? All right. And then I come back, and I come back like on a Thursday, but I figure I'm rested, so, you know, I can control this. I don't need to drink. I don't need to drink. I don't need to smoke pot. I don't need to do any coke. I'm fine, right? And I went in 1 week out with a vengeance. I locked myself up. I took a bunch of cash. I demanded the cash, because, from the company, right? And I locked myself up for about a month. And not only did I do a lot of drugs, but I drank excessively to the point where, I'd be coughing and there would be blood. I'd be coughing up blood, right? And my parents were obviously the root of this problem, right? In some way or another. You know, they asked Jodie Foster, right? Because she was on Larry King, right? And she has kids, and they asked her, you know, what are you doing for your kids? She says, well, I'm putting a little money aside. So when they hit 18, I can send them to therapy. That was her answer, how she's raising her kids. You know, because you're damned if you do. I didn't get hugged enough. I got hugged too much. The whole story, right? So I come into this program, and So I'll jump a little before, right? The story in my head. The story in my head was, I'm not loved enough. You know, if somebody would only love me, then things would be good. My parents, I didn't realize. So I'm in rehab, right? And I'll share something I wrote there. It was a poem, right? So it goes, when love is lost, we feel pain. We live in denial with nothing to gain. From dusk to dawn, we watch the rain, indulging our vices, smoke, drink, and cocaine. As years go by, we trail behind. We lose what's real in our peace of mind. We search for freedom. For something divine, we struggle and we search in some glass of wine. I hope that one day I will grow stronger. Disaster and betrayal to remember no longer. Now I fight for survival to save my brain from this freedom once desired, smoke, drink, and cocaine. I knew, and I'm 25 years old when I wrote that, right? And I knew what I was doing. It just didn't agree with me. Could not stop. Could not stop. I tried many things to stop, including reading every possible book that I can find. I went to seminars. I went firewalking, you know, on the hot coals there, because there was an article about heroin addicts doing that, and then quitting. You know, quitting heroin, not firewalking. I don't know. So I got out of that rehab, and I wrote another verse, not the sun has risen, because, you know, I'm doing good now, it's a month, right? Now that the sun has risen, now that my mind is open, now's the time for dreaming, now's the time for hope. Hope for the future and what it might bring, hope for the sunrise in the spring, to give unto others as a good person would do, to have hope, faith, and courage, and to know someone loves you. And there's the twist in this, eh? So, to know someone loves you. And that's what I was getting to when I came into the program. And I used excessively for the next 10 years. And because of the business, right, I really had to isolate. So for the next 10 years, I was there was two lives, absolutely. Like, I would go to a wedding, right? But I wouldn't stay there past two drinks. I would have to leave, right? I stopped dating completely because, you know, if I dated you, right, you might find out what I am, right, and which might jeopardize the business. For God's sakes, I installed burglar alarm systems. You know, that's my job. You know, the last thing you want, how many times has my alarm guy been in the bathroom? And he's always at the bar. I don't know about this, you know, or he's up, you know. And, yeah, so I just, so I come in and I open up the big book and it said, no person, place, or thing can restore me to sanity. I went, wow. I've been looking for a person, place, or thing to restore me to sanity. And that's it. I joined the home group. Somebody said, do 90 and 90. I said, I'll try. They said, if you had chemo, would you try to get to your appointment? I said, that's a good point. I wasn't stupid. Right? So, excellent point, I thought. Yes, I would. If I had, yes, I would. I would go. I would go to my... And, yeah, so at... And that's it. So they said, no relationships for a year. I went, what do you mean? I'm trying to get sober to be in a relationship, you know? But I said, okay, right? So I stayed out of relationships, right? You know, but I got into one around two and a half years, right? I met somebody by the coffee machine. You know, she was. I heard they're going dancing or something. I said, "Hey, me too. I like to dance," and that's just how it worked out, right? That didn't last very long. Just this morning I'm saying, you know, there's a lot of mental people in this program. Then I think to myself, I'm in this program. You know, I'm in this program, right? Okay, so what happened after that? It didn't work out. And I started a meeting at another fellowship, at a CA fellowship. And you think they're crazy here? Hello. So I'm at a wedding with this girl I met, right? She's 6 months sober, right? But she's cute, right? And she used to be a therapist. And the cuter they are, the more I buy the story, right? And we're at a wedding one day, and my whole family's there. And she goes to the bar, and she gets a drink. But I don't know if she has a drink, right? You know? And it's a wedding, eh? So... If you order a, you know, she asked me for $5. That was for the tip, right? What do you need $5 for? So they fill up the glass of rum till about here at weddings, right? You know, if you give $5. And they splash a little Coca-Cola in there. So she takes a sip, fills her cheeks like a chipmunk, right? And comes and plants one on me. And sprays now. So I got about 4 ounces of rum now in my cheeks, right? And if you were to tell me this story, I would say, John, you should just spit it out. So I got it, and I'm looking around the table, right? There's my mom, there's my dad, there's my nephew, right? This is way too much. This is going to, like, spray the room. So I swallow it, right? And... I didn't go to that day thinking I'm going to have a drink. That drink never entered my mind, ever, you know. And then I go outside, and I haven't had anything in me in 4.5 years now. And I'm like feeling this, you know. And it's just chaos after that. She's filling her straw with alcohol. and she's cute, right? So I don't want to fuck this up. Right? So I got to get her out of there. Because now her and my mom are on the dance floor. My mom doesn't drink, though. She's just regular. And we end up at a bar downtown. I figure get her out of here. And she wants to do coke. So I give her $50. I go, go do your coke and come on, let's get out of here. And, that's why they say if you're going to go on a 12-step call, always bring a member with you. And she pulled out a bag, and I did a line. And after that, I'll tell you what happened after that. Very quickly after, I end up at Vijay Park. I get mugged. I end up spending a week in the hospital. I have a piece of titanium in my right here because somebody came up behind me, cracked my jaw. I woke up. There was blood on my lips. I drove around drunk for 3 days, just in chaos. And the stress of the whole thing, heart problems. I was at a meeting and I just I collapsed. Not collapsed, but I couldn't breathe. And my jaw is wired. My jaw's wired shut. And they told me I had to keep it in for about 5 weeks. 4 weeks. I forget I'm an addict. I forget I'm an alcoholic. I have a drink, right? And I'm on my way again with my jaw wired. And I'm in the East End somewhere. And there's some skinheads, kids, hanging around this abandoned building. I spent 4 days there, drinking, partying. On the fourth day, I moved the elastic. I couldn't out of my mouth, and now I'm talking. Hello. And I got my tools, and I removed the braces out of my mouth by myself. The dentist was happy because this Medicare doesn't cover that, and I did a fine job. It wasn't that complicated. It sounds crazy, but it wasn't really that complicated. And I got to get to a meeting. And one ain't going to do it because 6 and 9 months have elapsed now. So, and on that Christmas, I spent everything. I spent my godson's Christmas money. I had to call up people and say, I can't come. I've spent all the money. Right. And, New Year's, I fell asleep, drunk and stoned and shaking, And I said, okay, every once in a while, it's time to summon the courage despite a fear. There's no way I can do 90 and 90 in my head, right? I'm going to do 7 meetings in a row. And that's what I did. I did 7 meetings in a row. And then I did another 7. And people started coming. And then on February 12th, 11th, I had done 45 meetings, and in walks the girl. Tick, 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 tick. And if you stay long enough in a bar, you're going to get a haircut, right? And she was hammered, and I'm like, no, thanks. Just, but by 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever, because I do believe, I do exercise some willpower occasionally in this program, some, a little bit, right? You know, and so my new date was now February 13th, and I go to Thursday Nighters. It's an anniversary, and they're doing a countdown, and I stand up at 3 days. Where's 3 days? You know, and I stand up. And for the first time, like, I used to be embarrassed to stand up at 3 years, right?
Uh-huh, 3 years.
Standing up, you know. But I wasn't, and something had happened. And I went and got, I picked up the big, yeah, who wants this chip? And when I went up, right, the guy who gave me the chip knew my name. He said, "Here you go, John." Wow, yeah, you know. And that's it. So, and then stuff started to happen. I did a meeting every day, and I met this guy, Joe. He was retired. He was doing 3 meetings a day. So I could, you know, go hang with him. I'll do an extra one. And it was just like that. And another thing is, you know, they tell you never to say no, right, if you're asked to do something. And I never do. I never say no. And not because for anything, but I figure if I say yes, right, I'm still connected, right? I'm still connected to the program, you know, if I say yes, right? Because one no here, another no there, next thing you know, I'm disconnected. Right. I remember being 6 months into the program, like, you know, this last time. And I'm driving home, I'm thinking, you know, I can really go out. I mean, I'm going to go out tonight. And a little voice in my head said, "Well, but you're chairing the meeting on Friday." Oh, yeah, I'm chairing the meeting on Friday. Right. So and then a lot of things started happening to me. People started coming to my life. Somebody asked me to sponsor them. And then somebody else asked me to sponsor them. So now I got the big book open. And, oh yeah, and when I came in, I needed a new sponsor because my sponsor had gone out, right? And I put down a fourth. I had done a fourth before, and I had resentments, man. Like, I had resentments. And I put them down and made some calls. A few were hard. A few were hard to make. And like that. And last New Year's, I was part of the committee that did the New Year's Eve party. And I brought the sound system and I set up the light show. Right? And I hadn't touched the turntables, you know, and like the music I used to do for years, and like in years. And I bought a pair of turntables, and I got a computer, and I got this program, and I have like 5,000 songs. And it's, you don't even need vinyl anymore. You hit a button, the song goes, and it's just amazing. And that's it. And I'm 2 years sober, February 13th. Grateful to be here. I'll tell you one story and I'll sit down. There's a story about a father and a son, and they're going camping. And they set up the tent and everything. And the son says to the father, says, "Father, I want to go and explore." And the father says, "Okay, well, start walking. And every once in a while, I'm going to call out your name. And when you can no longer hear me call out your name, it's time to stop and walk back," right? And in my life, I think it's sort of like that, eh? I think I walked a little too far, and now I'm back. And I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much.